Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is how to get higher than market rates. But before we get started, just a couple of announcements here. And that is, first off, I just hope that your new year is getting off to a great start. I think it's a good time for real estate investing. And I think that there are a lot of opportunities out there. And I'm talking to so many people every day that are just crushing it out there. And I think that if you just keep moving forward, you're gonna find stuff and you're gonna get things done. But a lot of us, you know, get antsy, we get nervous, we're thinking, oh, there's a recession on the rise, there's things that are gonna happen. I mean, you should be wise and prudent, but you can also psych yourself out so much too that you don't do anything. So it's real important that you get a plan, even if it's a simple one-page plan of what you want to try to accomplish during 2019, and just start hacking away at it and start just cutting into it and making a difference and drawing that much closer to achieving your goals. So I just want to encourage you and tell you, hey, I've been there, done that. I know how frustrating it can be sometimes in this marketplace. Believe me, I mean, I've been looking for a long time here for 100 plus units. So, yeah, that is another thing on our announcements too. I have been looking. We've got a couple of interesting prospects ahead. One of which I think we're making an offer this week on. So we're still out there. We're still trying. And we're not going to give up as long as there's the potential properties out there. One of the neat things is, even though it is frustrating that it's taking so long to get some of the properties we want to get a hold of, is that I'm realizing that that's allowing me to focus more on the deals that I have, on the projects that I have, on the properties that I have. And with having the available time, I'm really able to look at and analyze some of the properties that we have. And so my big focus has been in the last really 18 months is just focusing more on my current properties in my portfolio and maximizing optimizing its return, increasing cash flow and forcing equity. I mean, those are the great things about real estate. One of the most amazing things right now. And that's why I think there's a lot of stuff for sale. sale out there because a lot of people are trying to get top dollar right now, and a lot of these properties just aren't worth it. But they figure, well, it's at the top of the top of the bell curve here, so I'm going to try and go for it. And unfortunately, you know, there are those projects out there, and some of them are selling. I mean, you know, good for them, but the numbers just don't make sense all the time. But I think that what's great is that we can also optimize our properties while we are in this not holding pattern, because I'm still moving forward, but at least while we're, you know, there's a slowdown a little bit. And that's really what I have been doing. And that's part of what I'm going to be talking about today is that, you know, I'm looking at our property, the properties that I have, and I'm saying, hey, is this doing as well as it can do? Is the rent as high as it should be? Is the property in as good a condition as I want it to be? Is it good for the long haul, or are there things, basic maintenance things that I should be doing? And so I have been, you know, investing a lot into my properties, trying to upgrade them, trying to make them better than they were, with the idea of, well, you know, I may be having this for the long term. And so I've been upgrading. I've been consciously reducing expenses, looking at various types of ways to do that, everything from RUBS-oriented programs to, transferring heating from boilers to sideboard heating, that kind of thing. So, those are some of the areas I've been focusing. For example, our 22 unit, which I've talked a lot about because we put a lot into that. Part of what we've tried to do is to take this place that really there was just a there were like really bad tenants in there, unfortunately, and that was really the fault of our property manager who was bringing these folks in. And it was really ultimately comes to my fault, not so much the property manager. I should have been overseeing them a lot tighter than I was. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of people got into the building while I was focused on other areas. And as a result, it really hurt the performance of that particular property. So we've really been consciously doing things to try to change, sort of the negatives. We input a closed circuit TV. I think I've talked about that in the past. One of the greatest decisions I made, because I've been able to zero in on those troublesome tenants and sort of catch them in the act so that we could evict them and bring in some good folks. And as we have had, vacancies, and as we have got people out of there that were not such great tenants, we have been able to upgrade apartments, and some neat things have happened. One of the things, and this is frustrating, I'm sure a lot of you guys have encountered this too, is that you may be in a neighborhood that it may not be the greatest neighborhood, but it's not really the hood or real bad neighborhood either, or a war zone, but there are things that happen there. And one of the frustrations that I've had in for my 22 unit is that there are other property or apartment owners who are out-of-state owners who really either are very unaware of what's happening with their properties, or they just don't care. And that is the problem. There's probably about, I don't know, maybe six blocks of apartments. And so many of the apartments in that six block area are properties that are nice properties. I mean, they're really nice, but they're allowing people in that are drug dealers or prostitutes or others. And so that has really hurt the neighborhood as a whole. So we're taking a real proactive stance to try to change what's happening in the neighborhood. And we try to do it as best as we can from our own little sphere there. But part of what had happened when I think I mentioned to you guys, I went and I lived in my apartment there for a month. My wife and kids weren't real thrilled about it, but that was one of the most valuable experiences of my real estate investing tenure here, is just getting out there and actually seeing what it's like to live on one of my own properties. And I learned a lot. And part of it was that I realized, hey, this is really not a bad neighborhood. Yeah, there were things that happened while I was there, everything from gunshots to, we had the police come in and did a prostitution sting operation from one of our top units. And I mean, there was just like a lot of things, bed bugs, other deals, but I experienced it. And I also found out, well, how can we combat, how can I learn from this so that we can do something to change that area. And so the neighborhood problems are one of those things that, well, how do you change a neighborhood? Well, one building at a time, right? And we're actually looking at other properties in that neighborhood, some of these other properties that, you know, the landlords have just allowed them to run down, and we're looking at making offers. And, you know, if we can buy a few of these properties and we can upgrade them enough, we can actually affect the property values in that neighborhood. So one of the things in the neighborhood problem area that we're looking at is there are some, you know, prostitution and drugs that, you know, that have continued to happen in that area. And if you know kind of how it happens, there are certain areas where people know that that's where you go to get drugs. That's where you go to find a prostitute. And we want to change that. We want to make this not the place to go. And we're going to do what we can to try to shift that to hopefully, you know, want to stop it altogether, but hopefully to move out of that neighborhood so that we can allow this neighborhood to move in the direction it wants to go. And so we've done a number of different things. The most recent one was kind of interesting is that there's a right on the corner of there's this little street and then there's the main East Washington. What we've done is we've taken some lights, okay, big time lights. I'm talking 96 lumens type lights, you know, and we have installed them on the side of the building so that at night the place is lit up like a carnival. I mean, it's just like the lights are almost too bright and we're afraid, you know, somebody's going to sight us or something. But these big spotlights are basically pointing to the areas where there have been, you know, cars, where prostitution has happened in, where drug deals have happened, other things. And these people are fully exposed now. And in addition to that, we have our closed circuit TV. So now we're putting signs together that are going out there that are saying, anyone who is doing any illegal activities, we have video cameras and we have your license number, and we're going to report it to the police. And the idea is to just scare the people out of the area. And with these big bright lights where you really can't hide what you're doing, you're like exposed. And that coupled with the cameras and these other signs that talk about reporting that to the police. So we're doing some real proactive things there. We're also looking real strong into putting together a neighborhood watch. So, hey, if any of you have done that in any of the areas where you're in and put together an organized, we have this great neighborhood behind us, you know, people that have lived there for 20, 50 years, you know, and they love their houses and they love their neighborhood, but they hate what's going on in the neighborhood. So if we can get them all on board for a neighborhood watch, now that's real tough as an owner. I can't be there to initiate it. So I'm trying to get some people on the ground there to help me to do this and to organize it. But that's another thing that we're trying to do to try to change things in that neighborhood. If we can get neighborhood watch going and the cops are being called constantly, and there's been some real positive movement. We had the SWAT team arrive, the building next to ours. There were some drug dealings going on. We've been reporting it. We've been asking the officers to patrol the area. We're making ourselves available if cops just want to hang out there. I've offered even coffee and donuts or whatever in our empty units to, you know, be able to allow them to park their cars there. That'll also discourage people from being around. So we're doing some proactive things in the neighborhood. And I don't want to make it sound like it's this horrible neighborhood. I mean, it's actually a really good neighborhood, except for there are just a handful of prostitutes that just love to roam the streets there, and their Johns know it, and they come there, and it's, you know, keeps them busy. But with our lights that we've put up, everything's changing. So that's really positive, and I'm hoping it's just going to shift them either out of the neighborhood or whatever. We're really trying to see what we can do. But I do have some folks that have some apartments that are higher up that have agreed to call the police when they see anything. And we're calling on a regular basis whenever something happens. And it is discouraging folks from hanging out. So bit by bit, we're whittling down. If we can get other owners, other property owners on board that are willing to commit to maybe doing similar things, that would be great. If not, you know, maybe we'll look at acquiring other properties in the area. If we can find other properties and be able to boost those properties up, you know, we can actually affect the values of properties overall in that community. The topic of this, as I mentioned earlier, I kind of got off on my announcements here, but it's how to get higher than market rents. And this is one really neat thing that's happening. And I'm going to share it with you because I think it's something that you might want to consider. When I bought this building in 2016, the 22 unit, it was mostly studios, 17 studios, 5 one-bedroom units, and the studios were renting for $395 each, which isn't a lot. Okay, we're talking 22 units here total. It was under market as best I could see, and I surveyed, I called, I did Rentometer, I did all the, you know, I went on Zillow and looked at what rents were and felt that, yeah, I could increase that up to $450. And so after I purchased it, we started doing improvements. We pretty quickly got up to $450 on those studios. The others were going for like $500, the one bedrooms. We took a real bold move recently, and part of that was the fact that, well, when I was in marketing and advertising for 20 some odd years and spent a lot of time in it. And one of the things that always amazed me is when these products would come in and I was just looking at these products going, why are these things selling? I mean, I can't understand why anybody would buy this product, but yet they were selling. They were selling really well because both the advertising and the public relations efforts were very effective. What really was the focus of so much of the agencies that I owned an ad agency, PR agency. I also worked for Adam PR agencies. And in there, I learned a lot. And so much of, you know, these products and their success was the branding and the psychology of their pricing. And in that, I saw, gee, you know, why would anybody buy? Sometimes you'd see these things, you just have a name like Gucci on it, and you know, it's going to sell for a ridiculous amount. And the thing's made in China, and it's really not necessarily a quality product, but it's got the brand. So I started to think about this and started to think about it in relation to my properties. And I'm thinking, you know, what kind of brand do I have on my properties? It was funny because I started doing some upgrades in the units because I really thought I could get, you know, increased rents again. And in that process, I met this contractor who was saying, gee, why are your units so cheap? And I said, well, that's what the market is. And he's going, I don't think that's what the, I mean, I honestly think that just seems way too low. Now, I don't know if he had surveyed the area. I mean, he's from the area. He's kind of familiar with it, but it seemed like, you know, he was saying, no, you could get much more for these. Anyway, so they're doing the upgrades. We're making these units look nicer than they had been. So, you know, when we first bought the place, we did a lot of mechanicals and things like that. And so we finally, you know, we brought it up to a certain level. Well, now, you know, instead of just kind of being, you know, nice, okay, we're trying to go nicer. In other words, we're trying to create a wow factor that when you show that apartment unit, people go, this is nice. I mean, this is an older building, 1925. It's got these high ceilings. It's got like really, you know, big, bold molding around the windows and the doors. And it's, I mean, it's a nice looking place. It's not huge, but it has that neat kind of retro, kind of classic feel to it. So we started playing off of that in our upgrades and, you know, really accenting with the color and you know, flooring and different things, you know, not anything real expensive, but definitely taking it to the next level. So this guy, he's a contractor, but he also does property management too. And I just signed on with a new property manager. So this guy was kind of filling the gap until they officially came on board. And so his wife is a social worker and works with a lot of agencies in the area. And he said, look, hey, He said, I can rent out some of these for you if you want me to. And I said, yeah, sure, do that. I'll pay you 1 month's rent and I'd love it, you know. And he goes, I'm going to ask $675. I go, $675? I mean, they're $450 right now. I mean, maybe we get up to five, maybe $550, but $675? Anyway, to cut a long story short, we started renting these things out, and five of them already been committed, some already rented, at $675. Okay, this is crazy, okay? And I looked on Rent-O-Meter. I said, you know what, in Rent-O-Meter, some people really give it a bad rap. It's never accurate. It's, you really have to do your own research, and it's usually too high. You know, maybe it's not too high. Okay, they were saying the average studio in that area was $639, and the median was $575. I mean, that's pretty big discrepancy there, but I'm looking at this and going, well, maybe $675 isn't all that crazy. Now, granted, we had a few agency folks, and the agencies come in and they just boom, they pay more, but it's sort of a government contract amount, and it's not like Section 8, but it's definitely a fixed amount that is higher than what sometimes the market is. But then we started renting to people who were not part of an agency, that were not being placed as part of an agency. And the agencies, just so you know, too, it's like a lot of times it's people that have some sort of issues. Maybe they're in recovery. Maybe they are folks that, that are just kind of starting again. It may be vets. It may be people with special needs, things like that. And I talked about this in other episodes. Anyway, so here we are. We're starting to place people in studio apartments in this area for $675. And it is working. And we're seeing things happen. And I think the biggest part of this was the fact that I was just changing my mindset. I was so fixed on, well, you know, this is too high. Why, you know, and I think that's what happens. We lock ourselves in to these lower rates because it's easy. And a lot of us that are working with property managers, I mean, gosh, I see this all the time. They're just gonna lower it down so they can get the quick person in because they don't have time to try and get that higher level of tenant. And what I'm seeing is that we're attracting a higher level of tenant because of the price. So it's plus the upgrades are definitely nice, but I mean, come on, this is a big leap. So what's really happening here is that, you know, there's a branding that's going on, and people are seeing this building and going, this place is very cool, and I really want to move here. I really want to live there. And the guy that's been showing it, my construction guy, is doing all the upgrades, is he's fueling that, and he believes it, and he sees it. And, you know, that's the problem. I think sometimes you have, you know, a landlord who says, or an owner who says, I want it at this price. And the property manager is not convinced, so they're not really selling it. They're kind of like, yeah, well, maybe I can negotiate a better price for you, you know, and they're not sold. And I think so much of it is your mindset in this too, is really, hey, why can't you get that? Why can't you get a higher than market rent? And we're seeing it happen. And if I can fill this place for $675, okay, you know that contributes significantly to the overall value of the property. I already doubled the value of this property after 1 year of having it, just by increasing the rents as little as I did and reducing the expenses. But if we can actually get these studio apartments rented at $675, I will increase the value of this property 350%. So it's crazy, I know, and the fact that I'm even talking about it is even crazier still. But the only reason I'm putting that out there is maybe you can do that too. Maybe you can increase it just $25 or $50, and you don't think you can, but you really can. This is a great market right now. There's such a strong demand for rentals that I think a lot of us don't realize it. And plus, we have some good tenants. You don't want to, you know, impose an increase on those tenants. I understand that too. But at the same time, you know, when that vacancy comes through, why not jack up that price and see if you can get it? And if you can get it, then you're starting to set a precedent. And so for each new vacancy that comes, you'll be able to to be able to draw that same rent. So anyway, I'm sharing this because I think it's something worth taking a look at. I think it might be of value to you. And hopefully some of you guys will see, you know, your forced appreciation that we hear so much about in real estate investing. Well, that is it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dog's website. And I'll try to see if I can put some pictures of some of the upgrades that we've done and give you an idea of what really little things we did to improve the properties. And I think that's even more of a testimony to, you know, how the mindset is even more important here. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.